To have that harvest party next week? Of course we do. It's supposed to rain. The Bible tells me that Elijah prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Because the fervent effectual of a righteous man availeth much. Pray that God will hold back the rain and we can have a good time. All right, before we start, let's look to the Lord in the word of prayer. Our gracious and heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you to ask you, Lord, to bless us this morning with thy precious word. Lead us and guide us, Lord. Teach us what you have in store for us, the wonderful truths that are throughout your precious word. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we'll all get the message that you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of today's message is The Faith of Daniel. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 4:12, as Paul was writing to Timothy, he told Timothy to be an example of the believers in word, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And the Bible, as you go through it, gives us many examples of what that looks like in flesh, in the lives of people. Today, I want us to focus on an example of faith that we have in the Word of God, one specific one. His name is Daniel. In Hebrews chapter 11, we have many examples of people who exhibited faith in the Lord, and the Lord used them mightily throughout their lives. Guys like Abraham, noted for his faith, Abel, Moses, Joshua, David. And now today, we're going to look at Daniel. His faith in God, the scripture said, stopped the mouth of lions. So today we're going to explore the faith of Daniel and see what we could learn from him. Now, the first thing we have to have is some background, of course, to build a story. So I want you to turn with me to Daniel chapter 1, the Old Testament, book of Daniel chapter 1. And we're going to work our way from there. Get your Bible out. Don't just look at me like a bunch of billy goats. Daniel chapter 1. This is the first time we meet Daniel in chapter 1. Daniel is a young boy, and he was taken captive with the Jews by the Babylonians and brought into Babylon. Look at chapter 1, start at verse 3. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed. That's important. King's seed means he's related to the king of Israel at that time. So he's of the tribe of Judah, which you'll find later, and of the princes. And then children, in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's food and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, and this is where we get this, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Look at verses 8 and 9. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's food, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel wanted to keep straight with the word of God. The law told him what foods they should eat and what food they should not eat. So he knows that this food that he's going to be getting will be sacrificed to idols and things like that, so he does not want to be partaking of that. Look at verse 9. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of eunuchs. And then look at quickly at verse 17. And as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all the vision and dreams. So there were four of them, and all four of them were on the same page with, we want to live for the glory of God and glorify him rather than disobey him and do what is going on here. Now, God's honoring that. You just don't do that to the most ruthless ruler in all the world at that time and go against what he says. So he made an agreement with this guy, and God worked in the life of that man to allow him to do that. So in chapter 1, as a young teenage boy, here he is along with Daniel and said, hey, and you read the story, you probably know the story, that test us for 10 days, and if we look skinnier or gaunt more than the others, well, then we'll have to do what you want. But their faith and trust was in God. They were honoring God's word, and God honored them. That's faith. That's what you see in the book of Daniel here, is Daniel's faith to believe God. When all was against him, he was believing God. Then in chapter 2, we meet up with Daniel again. This time he's a little older. He's a young man, and he's going to interpret a dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had. And we're going to see him putting his faith in God again because of the impossible situation. Look at verse 14, chapter 2, starting at verse 14. And here's a prayer for wisdom. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men in Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain. Now, he had a dream, and he brought his wise men in. Nebuchadnezzar had that dream. Brought his wise men and said, you tell me the dream, you tell me the interpretation. Well, you tell us the dream, and we'll tell you what it means. No, you got to tell me the dream. Well, there's nobody on this earth could ever do anything like that. And no king ever asked that particular of his wise men. He says, look, I know you guys are pulling my leg, so to speak. And he says, if you don't tell me, then I'm going to get rid of you. And of course, the order went out to kill all the wise men, all the astrologers. All of them were to be gone. And so word got back to Daniel. Now, notice what we read. In verse 15, he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Because Daniel and his other three companions were in that group, and they were destined for death. Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time. Did you notice that? He went right in because his faith and trust was in the Lord, that the Lord would help them. And that he would show the king the interpretation. Could you imagine? Just look at the scope of that. Get him to know the dream and what the dream meant. Nobody could know that. Only God could know that. And that's exactly what Daniel says, as you'll see. Verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. So they're getting together. They're going to have a very serious time of prayer, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men. And then, notice what happens. The secret is revealed. God gave Daniel the secret. Then was the secret revealed, verse 19, unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changed the times and the seasons, and he removed kings and sets up kings. What a picture of God in control, the sovereign control of God taking care of this whole universe. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and the secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness. And the light dwelleth with him. And I thank thee. Notice what how he ends it up. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Again, we see Daniel here coming before God and serving God with all his heart. His faith and trust is in God to reveal this secret thing that could never be revealed any other way. And then what does the scripture says? If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will give it. You see, God's saying, come to me. Come to me with whatever is going on in your life. I know what's going on, but I want you to come to me. So we see Daniel here as a young man, seen in chapter 2. So what we're going to see is we're progressing Daniel from a young boy to an old man. So he's a young man here. Then go to chapter 4. In chapter 4, he shows up again. This time, he's a middle-aged man who was called upon to interpret another dream, and that was a tree vision for the troubled king. I won't go and go through that. I'll just walk you through it. You could read it later on when you go home. For the troubled king, here is this tree vision, because it's about him, and it's not favorable. Once again, Daniel is troubled in his soul because of the fact that this what this tree dream and vision is, but he's faithful. He's faithful. He came to God. God gave him it, and it was and he gave him the interpretation of even if it was troubling to the king. So you just don't do that back then. Tell the king bad news. King wants to hear good news. But Daniel, his faith and trust is in the Lord and not in the king. So he told him flat out, something's going to happen to you. You're going to lose your kingdom. You're going to be like an animal. They're going to feed you with straw and stuff like that. And you read about it and you find out why. Because of how he said, look at Great Babylon. This is my doing. This is everything from me. Boom, it was gone. For 7 years, he was gone. Then we go to chapter 5. Chapter 5, we're all pretty much know about it. It's the handwriting on the wall. And here we see Daniel, again, as he's progressing in age, standing for God and being faithful to God. And notice what it says in chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. The king is there. The king is Belshazzar. Belshazzar is basically like a grandson of King Nebuchadnezzar. So they went down the line a little bit. All of a sudden, the writing on the wall, nobody knows what it is. And he's kind of scared. And so his mother, the queen mother, tells him about there is a man in your kingdom who knows what that is. And that's where we get to in chapter 11. Or chapter 5, verse 11, says, there is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods was found in him. Notice the testimony that Daniel has. All of those years, a captive, a slave in that particular government, and he's living for the glory of God. Whom the king, Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. So here we see someone knew about Daniel. Not many knew about it, but she knew about it, and they're calling for him to come in. Now look at verses 17, starting at verse 17, because here's the interpretation. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself. Because the king already said, look, if you can interpret this, I'm going to give you all of this stuff. And he names them here. And I'm going to give you a big high position and things like that. And Daniel answered and said, keep it. Let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. He basically did whatever he wanted to do. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was like the wild donkeys, and they fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, of iron, wood, and stone, which see not, hear not, nor know not, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel of Harzen. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold around his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Mede took the kingdom, being about 62 years. So here in chapter 5, we get the writing on the wall, and we get the judgment that's coming and was done to him. Now, as we move over to chapter 6, is where we want to be. That's the crux of our message today. We see Daniel rolls again into view. Here he's a very old man. He's probably in his 80s about that time. And he has been in Babylon for about 7 years. Now, why did I say 70? Because the prophecy about the Jewish people being in Babylon was for 70 years. And now he just told them that he was going to die, and he did die. And now the Medes and the Persians came, and they're the ones that are going to allow the Jewish people to go back into Jerusalem and into the land. So what we see about Daniel is he's not veering off his course. He's standing to whatever God is saying, he's bringing forth. As he did when he was a young man, all the way through to where he is now at 80 years old. He's still faithfully serving the Lord who saved him by grace through faith in God. So that's a message to you and me. No matter what we're going through, we look to the Lord. Our faith is in the Lord. He will help us out no matter what has to happen. He knows what he's doing. You know, as you read this story about Daniel, if you read the whole book, you find out that even though Daniel was a very godly man, not many people were influenced by his godliness. Not many people were. He didn't make a big splash with the people of Babylon. There was no revival there. There was no people coming to know the Lord or anything, though. He was, even though he was continually being promoted by God for his work, but it was because of his faithfulness to the Lord, he worked his way. They worked his way through the government. That's because God wanted him to be there. The Jews were still captive in Babylon at this time. And the new king that's coming on board now is from the Medes and the Persians, whose name was Darius. Daniel was a faithful man. Yet he found himself in a terrible situation. You would think, okay, so he's trusting God and God's using him for all this kind of thing. He should be protected. No, because that's not God's plan. He'll be protected as he goes through it, but he's not being subject to all roses and stuff like that in his life. He's facing some very terrible situations. In chapter 6, we come to Daniel being thrown into the lion's den for standing for God, for being faithful to God. He's sentenced to die because he would not bow down to the government. They made a stupid and foolish mark, which we're going to see, we're going to read. And it was a terrible thing. And Daniel just said, I'm doing what I always do. And so the others were jealous over him, and they made a trap for him, and they got the king to fall for it and made this stupid decree that, you know, you can't pray to anybody or any god except to him for 30 days. Today I want to show you from chapter 6 here how it's possible to be faithful even in spite of everything that's going around that just falling apart. Let's note the details in Daniel's life here and see how this man lived his life of faith. The first thing we're going to see in the first couple verses here is what I called Daniel's character. We get a glimpse of what Daniel is. And character is what you are when you're alone. Anybody could be good in church and sitting here and praising the Lord and stuff like that. How you doing, brother? How are you, sister? What are you saying? What are we saying when we're out of here? All right. So where's our character? We're being conformed to the image of Christ, and it should be Christ all over each and every time. In verses 1 to 3, we see Daniel's position here. Chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius, this is the new king, to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit. That is the spirit of God that's working in him, to him, and through him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So he was spirit-filled like you and I should be each and every day. We are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. So these men that Darius went ahead and set up here was to help protect his kingdom from theft, from revolt, and stuff like that, because the kingdom is huge. It's a worldwide kingdom here. And over all of them, Daniel was preferred. That's a key word here in Daniel. He was preferred. He was preferred by God to be the one that he was going to use here to do what he's going to do in this time. So it's so amazing here, the fact that Daniel is where he is on the top of the list, and he is a slave who was brought from Jerusalem there, taken from his home, taken from his people, and living as a slave there. And not only that, but he was trained in the Babylonian court. You read chapter 1, you find out. For 3 years, they were hitting the books. Nebuchadnezzar said, teach them the Chaldean language and the Chaldean ways and things like that, and I'm going to test them at the end. See, Nebuchadnezzar was no dummy. He was smart. He wanted smart people in his cabinet to help him to make decisions that needed to be made and that had insight into what was going on and stuff like that. Daniel was faithful to God, and God blessed Daniel's faithfulness to him. And so that's what we see, and that's what we want to learn. We want to be faithful to God too, the things that God has taught us already. And God caused Daniel to have favor. That's what it is. God was the one behind it all, caused Daniel to have favor with the pagan king that he was serving here in Daniel chapter 6. He was, as they would say, trustworthy. They can trust him. He wasn't a liar. He wasn't a deceiver. He was a godly man, although they didn't realize that at the time. After 70 years of faithful service, this former slave, now risen, we would say he's like the prime minister or something like that, of the most powerful government in the whole world. God did that for Daniel because Daniel was being faithful to him and he kept moving him along. God will always honor faithful service. He may promote us in the eyes of men, for he sees everything we do for him. And there's a verse of scripture I want to read to you about promotion. In Psalm 75 and verse 6, the psalmist says, "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. God is the one who determines where you go and I go and what we do. He puts down one and he sets up another." So God is in complete control of everything, you and me also. And God keeps perfect records. Nothing gets past him. He doesn't forget anything. And one day, you and I will stand before God and we will be rewarded accordingly. And that's at the bema seat of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, Paul writes, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, and whether they be good or whether they be bad or worthless." So God is going to evaluate us. Christ is going to evaluate us, and we're going to receive rewards or we're going to lose rewards. It just depends on what attitude they were done in. So we see his character here, how God rose him in the ranks and how faithful he was. He didn't let his big title and stuff get to his head. He didn't have a big balloon head. He was always humble and faithful to God. The second thing we're going to see here in chapter 6 is Daniel's problem. Because now here comes the problem in verses 4 to 9. Look at verse 4. "Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel." They were jealous. Oh, were they hot. "Concerning the kingdom, but they could," here it is, "find no occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, 'We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him,'" here it is, "concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, 'King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute.'" That's a lie. They didn't consult Daniel, who was head over all of them. All of them were against, except Daniel was not included. "And to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which alter it not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. What you got to know is that once they sign that, there's no taking it back. You can't cancel it out. It's a law forever and ever. That was the stupidness of the way they did things here. So those other rulers that were set up were against and jealous of Daniel, and they sought to destroy him. They knew they couldn't do it any other way unless they did it concerning his God. Because they were jealous. He was a slave, and now he's like the head of everything. And we've been here for ages and did all this work before he came and after he came. And we're not even, you know, given that opportunity to have that high position. So they played on the vanity or the pride of this particular king because they were puffing him up. So they devised a plan to go against his God so that they would understand and be able to trick him. So no one could pray to any other god or man for 30 days except the king. And that appealed to the king. It kind of puffed him right up because it fed his pride. It fed his pride, stroked his ego and made him feel really good. But Daniel was faithful to the Lord. And those who were around him, despised him because he was different, he was honest, and he was reliable. Reliable. You would always get the truth from him. There would be no lies. There would be no deception. Daniel was everything they could not be. They could not stand it because of that, because he was rising up ahead of them. So they put together a plan how can we get rid of him? This is what we do. Persecution comes his way for living for faithfulness to God. And persecution will come your way and my way as we stand and take our stand for the Lord. Jesus reminds us of the persecution. You remember? He said this in Matthew 10. He says, "Think not that I am come to send peace upon the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be they of his own household." The Apostle Paul also warned us that persecution would come to those who would want to live faithful. He says, "Yea, and all them that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So let them hate us. Let them fight us and try to silence us. We will stick with the Lord. But regardless what they do and how they concoct all these things and lie, let us determine in our hearts, brethren, that we will be like Daniel and remain faithful till the end. What we see here in these verses also is the purity of Daniel. He had an excellent spirit. The Spirit of God was working in his life. The word excellent there means preeminent. It means of the finest quality, and you don't get any finer quality than the manifestations of the Spirit of God in us. He had a spirit in him that was different than every other man in that kingdom, apart from everyone around him. Look back at chapter 5 and look at verse 12. Notice what it says. "For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Then was Daniel brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou that Daniel which are of the children of the captivity, slaves of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee." So there's a testimony for Daniel. There was no skeletons in his closet. He had nothing to hide. There was nothing hidden in his life. What you see is what you got. He was a godly man whose faith and trust was in God, and that's exactly how he lived his life. He was an open book. He was faithful. He was faultless. He was trustworthy. God could trust him. People could trust him. That was his testimony. So let's look at our own lives. Can God trust us? Can people trust us to give them the truth, to tell them the truth of what God is saying? They could find nothing wrong in his life. And believe me, they were searching all over the place, and they came to that one conclusion. It had to be between him and God. So they had to do something about his walk with God. They knew that Daniel was a godly man, faith in his God, and they knew that he spent time with God in prayer. He was a man of prayer. So they moved Darius to outlaw prayer to anyone but him. They knew that Daniel would pray anyhow. Could you imagine that? They knew he'd pray anyhow. No matter what we would say or what would happen, he would pray anyhow. They saw that as their opportunity to have Daniel executed. See how our enemy is? See how smart our enemy is? Who would concoct something like that? It's not in human brains. This came from the enemy to try to get rid of Daniel. So let's take a moment. What's hidden in our lives? What's hidden in our lives? The Bible says every secret at some point in time is going to come out. It's going to come out. Are there things that are going to make us ashamed when people hear about it? Are things going to embarrass our family, our church, our Lord? If it is, we need to get it before God and confess and repent of it. Get it out, because you're carrying it and I'm carrying it, and it, unless we get that out, it's going to just fester in there like a bad infection. Are there things in our lives that are going to bring hostility towards our church, or dishonor upon the church, or the gospel we preach? We don't want that. We need to get that out. Look at Daniel. Daniel was a perfect way to look. Everything was before God. If there are hidden sins, thoughts, problems in our heart, they need to be brought out before the Lord and dealt with in His way. What's His way? His way is through confession and repentance and forsaking of that sin. Got two verses, one in Proverbs and one in 1 John. You know them. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who covers his sins will not prosper." Don't confess your sin. Don't release it. You're not forgiven. You will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. That's what you want. Mercy from God. 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That's why we keep thinking about these things, hoping we don't get found out. The shame of it when we get found out. When we confess, forsake it, that shame is gone, because we put it before God and He cleansed it from us. If we do not handle our sins His way and just think, well, they'll just go away, we can be sure that He has a way of exposing it. What is the thing that you don't want nobody else to know in your life? And it might be just a private sin. Things going on in your head. Numbers 20:32-23, "Be sure," God says, "your sin will find you out. You don't want to confess it, I'll make sure others know." Luke 12:2 says, "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known." We're playing games with God, and we're going to lose if we don't do what He wants us to do here. It's for our own good. It's to keep us clean so that God can use us. How much better it is to bring whatever's in our heart that we're holding on to, whatever secret sins, private sins, hidden sins, and get them out, confess them to the Lord. Say, "Lord, I'm guilty of whatever this is, and I want to give it up and give it to You. Cleanse me, and I will be free." So this is Daniel's character, the character of an excellent spirit, faithfulness to God, and reliable. The second thing we see now is Daniel has a choice. Look at verse 10. "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." How many times do we get down on our knees before God? Oh, we can pray sitting in the pew. We could pray driving in the car. We can pray anywhere walking around. Yes, you can. But if you want to be a man of faith, you're going down on your knees. If you can, if you possibly can, because you're humbling yourselves before God. And that's what God wants. Then we go on and say, verse 11, "Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God." Interesting. So when the king signed that decree, Daniel had a choice to make. Do I listen to the king, or do I listen to my God, who is my king? Should he remain faithful to the Lord, or should he bow to the vanity of this king? So as we look at this in Daniel's life here, we get the impression he's not even worried about it. This isn't even a crisis for Daniel. It's a no-brainer. I'm going before God. I don't care about this silly king. Daniel did what he knew what to do, and he remained faithful to the Lord no matter what. Notice what he did. He chose obedience to God rather than opportunities in the world. If he would obey that, he would have advanced more through the kingdom. That wasn't his idea. He wanted to be faithful to God. Now, it says his windows were open. He didn't just open his windows. They were always open so everybody could see what he was doing. And he didn't do that to draw attention to himself. That was his normal practice. Daniel bowed down before his God and prayed. It was the Lord's will for Daniel to be faithful, and that's what he did. And it's the Lord's will for you and me to be faithful to him. You know, God has given us so many things. Everything you have and I have, God has made provision for. And because of that, he says we are stewards. And it is to be found among stewards that they be faithful to what God has given to them. Be faithful. Now it says he bowed. Where in his window, where was he looking? He's looking to Jerusalem. Because that's God's will. If a Jewish person was out of the land, he said that he would answer their prayers if they would bow down and pray and face towards Jerusalem. Now that's in 1 Kings 8, 46 to 52. It's a prayer of Solomon when he was completing the temple, building the temple. And he was praying to the Lord and said, when your people are out of the land and they bow down towards Jerusalem, because that's where the presence of God was. Now, we don't do that today because the presence of God is within our own heart. The person is the Spirit of God. But when they would pray, God would listen and answer their prayer. Now, the decree went out. He didn't close the windows, bar the doors, shut the doors and everything like that. No. Because he wasn't ashamed of his faith in God. Are we ashamed? We need to answer some questions. So he chose obedience to God. Next thing he chose was faithfulness to God over the favor of the king. Interesting. No matter what the king said, it didn't make no difference to Daniel. Daniel was going to serve the Lord first and foremost. He simply went before the Lord, kneeled down, prayed, gave thanks 3 times a day. I wonder how many times we give thanks to the Lord. This is now, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. This is heartfelt prayer. Please. This is what it's all about. It's bearing our heart before God. You know, the scripture says we are to praise God 7 times. Here it says, and we could pray more. We can praise more. That was just a figure given there, just to let us know that we can praise God all the time we want to praise him. He remained faithful in spite of the will of this human king who had all the power given to him that could take his life like that. He chose devotion to God over the decree of the king. Now, the decree was only 30 days. So what's so big about that? He could have went home, closed the doors, closed the windows, and sat there for 30 days. And nobody would know the difference. And not prayed, or else he could have prayed to himself. But he didn't. Because he did what God wanted him to do according to what the law had told him. And he wanted to be faithful to God, and he was faithful to God. Next, he chose bowing before God rather than bowing before his enemies. The desire of his enemies, as we see here, as we read here, was to bring him down. They would They would have left him alone if he would have just agreed and went along with the crowd and adopted the ways of the religion of Babylon and stuff like that. Don't make no waves or nothing, but no. Daniel was different. He was preferred, as the scripture says. Daniel refused to bow to their will. He bowed to God's will and remained faithful to God. He chose a faithful testimony over worldly treasures. You see, faithfulness was more to Daniel than popularity. He was 80 years old. He was high-ranking official in the government. And no doubt he was a busy man. Yet Daniel did not make excuses. He remained faithful to the Lord, that he knew what was right, and he continued to look to the Lord for guidance and direction. He chose faithfulness rather than freedom. Daniel was willing to give up everything, his position, his wealth, his power, whatever else he had. But he was not willing to give up his commitment to the Lord and his faithfulness to the Lord. He chose love for God rather than love for life. Daniel was willing to die in the lion's den, but he would not sacrifice his character. What would it take for us to sacrifice our character? It's something to think about. Daniel was a determined man, determined to always be faithful to God. He would stand for the Lord regardless of the consequences, and he would remain faithful, whatever the cost, even if it was his own life. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." We should never be afraid to die, whether it's in sickness or whether it's being persecuted or whatever, because absent from the body, present with the Lord, those are the promises God has given to us. If you look at all these things and you think about the church in the world today, throughout the whole world, the church would be a vastly different place if Christians would have the same kind of faithfulness to God as Daniel did. It's sad, but many Christians allow things of this world to come between them and their commitment to the Lord. Too busy. Too busy. I want this. I want that. They're willing to sacrifice their testimonies. You see, that's important to God. Your testimony and my testimony is important to God, because he's building that testimony. And he can use that testimony to help someone else come to know the Lord. I pray that the Lord would raise up from our company here some Daniels who will have the faith of Daniel, who will sell at nothing less than being faithful, absolute obedience to the will of God in their lives. That's where we need to be, brethren. Problem is, we give up too easy, and we give in far too easy. What does it take for us to be taken out of the way? Those are the things we need to think about, pray about, and we need to strengthen in our lives. Where are the committed Christians who would be faithful unto death? Will you be one of them? Will I be one of them? We need to understand this is not a game, this is life. We're here for a purpose, and God wants to use us. And he'll use us as long as we are faithful to him. What if we were Daniel? What if we faced that particular thing that Daniel was facing, death in the lion's den, being eaten alive? What would we do? Well, that's hard to say. What choices would we make? It just depends where we are in our walk with the Lord. Third thing we're going to see is the challenge that's given. Look at verse 12. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree, Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was very displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. He got it. He finally realized he was set up. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. In your face, king, you blew it. They got him. When they saw Daniel praying, they went in immediately and accused him before the king. But they were right. Daniel did break their law because it wasn't his law. It was the Lord's law that he was more important with. Well, Daniel didn't break the law of the Lord. He did what the Lord would have him to do. And then the lights went on and he realized he was made a fool of. And he regretted signing that law because he liked Daniel. He realized Daniel's the most honest man in his kingdom. And now he's got to put him to death because of the foolishness and the trickery that went on. And it's amazing because it said he worked all that day trying to find a loophole where he can get around it so it wouldn't happen to happen to have Daniel go into the lion's den. Now this is good for us to know because we don't know what we're going to face in the future. You see, Romans 13 teaches us we are to obey the rules of the land and the laws. But, big but, all capital letters, but when the laws contradict God's word, we must do what God says, like Daniel did, regardless of the consequences. And that's what they see. You see that in Acts chapter 5, in 29, and chapter 5, 29, where it says we better obey God. We ought to obey God rather than men. That's where we need to be. Are you settled on that, Christian? It's the word of God. Don't listen to what men have to say. Don't listen to what every Tom, Dick, and Harry Christian on the internet says. What does the word of God said? That's what you want. Daniel knew what the word of God said. He stood on the word of God. And God used him and did miracles through him. Wonderful. In verses 16 and 17, watch now, because he faced a powerful attack by the enemy. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Oh yeah, God has a different plan. So he's cast into the den of lions there. Now everyone was pretty well sure that Daniel was dead before he even hit the bottom. Because no one entered, was thrown into the lion's den and ever came out alive. The lions had no preference. Whatever you're throwing in there, they're eating, because they were more than likely kept half starved. So to be sure that they were hungry when they smelled fresh meat coming down. You and I should be living lives that touch people all around us for the Lord. That they would know that we're faithful to our God and that we serve him. Whether it's a pagan king like Daniel was serving here, or a neighbor or a family member, our faith should be shining out and ringing to point to the Lord, to the Lord. Whether they believe in the Lord or not, they can't deny what God's doing in our lives. They should see his hand working in our lives. They should hear from our lips the things that God is doing in our lives, sharing with them what God is doing. Look at verse 18, because here's the victory. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. So that he was suffering more and more because of the foolishness. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? A resounding yes. Is God able to deliver you from the lions of this world that attack you? And there is one that walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the answer is, yes, our God can. Then said Daniel unto the King of Kings, live forevermore. My God had sent his angel and had shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocence was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces wherever they came at the bottom of the den. So everybody that was associated with them guys died, their families and friends and that stuff. Verse 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all the nation, the peoples and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who had delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Amazing. Here's the king, had everything at his beck and hand, and he couldn't even sleep because he was so worried. He made a foolish decision. He is consumed with guilt for his foolishness here. And he's angry because he was tricked by those whom he had set up to be his confidants. So he wrestles with sleep. And then he gets up in the morning and goes down and he shouts into the den of lions, and Daniel is there and he's so happy. Daniel answers the king and says, and relates the glorious news. Yes, God sent an angel and he protected me. Whatever we need, God will send to us. He'll help us. God stopped the mouths of the lions. And Daniel is attributing that gracious protection to the fact that he was innocent before God. He was innocent. There was nothing between him and his God. Daniel is immediately taken up, as we read in the scripture here, and examined. There's not even a mark on him. So the king turned the tables and threw those men, boom, into the lion's den, and they were devoured. Then we saw, again, God delivered him from that perilous position, and then promoted him again. Gave him again So he commands everybody in the kingdom to bow before the mighty God of Daniel because of the testimony. He declares God as the living God. Is your God living? He's the living God. He's not dead. We don't pray to statues that have no eyes and no ears and no mouths or nothing. Can't walk. They have to be carried. God is the living God. A God of power, a God of glory, possessing the eternal kingdom, which we are part of. And what we see here at the end is Daniel being exalted even higher in God's kingdom and in the kingdom that he was in the world. So the moral here of the story of Daniel, that God honors faith. God honors faith. Because Daniel was faithful, God gave him victory. We may never face a den of lions. We never will face maybe a burning furnace like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. But we might face some trials that some saints in this world have been called on to endure, horrible things. We might even encounter times of sickness, times of sorrow, stress, persecution, death, and hardship. And through it all, the Lord says, be thou faithful. Have faith in God that he will deliver us and he will help us. Doesn't mean we're going to live always on this earth, but we'll always live with him. God has so much promises for us. They're all in this book. And our problem is we don't realize all the promises God has made for us. So we're not enjoying them. He does this because he loves us and we're his people. He made us his people. We're his special possession. And all he does is ask us to be faithful. Be faithful. You know, if there's one thing that I want to hear when I get to heaven, and more than likely you want to hear when you get to heaven, is this. From the lips of our Savior, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Faithfulness is important to God and should be important to us. The Bible says, as I quoted before, moreover, it is required in stewards, you and me, that a man be found faithful. Now, there are some things that I can do, some things you can do, and some things we can't do. We can be faithful to the Lord, who redeemed us from our sin. We can be faithful to love God with everything that we have. We can be faithful to pray, as Daniel did, no matter what the situation was he found himself in. We could be faithful to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all our mind. Daniel, the scripture says, was faithful and reliable. God can rely upon him. And because of that, those who knew Daniel, like the king, heard and saw what the Lord was doing in his life, and they liked that. Daniel made a difference because he had faith in God. You and I could make a difference also if we had that faith, the faith like Daniel had, to trust God with everything that God has said. You see, if our faith even reaches out and touches one other person, it was worth it to bring that person to know God and to serve the God of the universe, to be faithful. If our children are touched with our faith, that next generation that's coming up will be faithful to pass it on and pass it on. And our faithfulness can be repaid many times over down through the history of the world. It's worth it. It's worth it. We need to examine our hearts, brethren, and we need to allow the Lord full access and say, Lord, whatever's in there, get it out. I don't want it. Take it. Take it from me. I give it to you, whatever. I don't want this anymore. The problem is we forget about it and we go about, and next thing you know, we're involved in it again. It's got to stick with us. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to do that. I don't want to put my hand on the burner anymore. That's where we need to be. Can we, after hearing this message, can we honestly say that we are faithful to Him, to His will, to His work? I would say in a lot of things we are, but I would also say there's a lot of work we have to do. Are we ready? Are we ready to have the faith of Daniel and be faithful to our Lord, even if it cost us our life? Remember this. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 11, I believe it's 22. Have faith in God. Let us pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to look into this man's life. The man of Daniel, lost in the back pages of the Old Testament, but oh, what a shining light. Thank you, Lord, for opening it up for us and helping us to see how you treasure faithfulness from your people. How you used Daniel, Lord, to stand in almost impossible odds and persecutions, but he stood faithful to you because his faith and trust was in you. So no matter which way it went, he won. He won. I pray, Father, that through this message today, our lives would be touched. Touched with the faithfulness of Daniel. Touched with how faithful you are to us, Lord, in helping us, guiding us, directing us, and wanting only the very best for us. Lord, I pray that we make a difference in someone's life. In this week, next month, that our faithfulness to you would go out and touch people, that they would ask the question, why and how? And we'll be able to give them the hope that lies within us, is our faith is in our God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you for coming.